strike in general, not so much our particular event. I think there's 8 or 9 events taking place just in New York State on Friday.
This is Nadine Terrio-Copeland from the TransX Transmission Arts Symposium in Toronto. You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA.
WGXC welcomes audio responses from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message with WGXC, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-291-WGXC and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. Hear something you disagree with? Want to speak out on an issue? Plug your band's show? Let your neighbors know something important? Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message anytime about any issue. That number again is 518-291-WGXC. 518-291-9492.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Phoenix Grace of Del Mar, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, September 20th, 2019. I'm Eric Tegedoff. A whistleblower complaint against President Trump sets off tug-of-war between Congress and the White House. And students around the world strike today to demand action on climate change. In Washington, D.C., the revelation of a whistleblower complaint from the intelligence community could have potentially explosive consequences. The complaint involving a, quote, promise between Trump and a foreign leader was so alarming to a U.S. intelligence official working in the White House that the official went to the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community. That's according to the Washington Post, which also quotes two people familiar with the matter as saying the complaint centers around the country of Ukraine. Democratic Representative and House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff revealed the existence of the complaint last week. Schiff also reported that the acting director of national intelligence blocked the inspector general from sharing it with Congress, which is required by law. In a series of tweets, Trump called the report fake news. Inspired by 16-year-old climate activist Greta Thunberg of Sweden, students around the world are joining a climate strike today calling for immediate action on climate change. Eric Galatis has this report from Texas.
Jacob Slaughter with the group Aggies for Climate Justice says students' aims include creating a glide path for workers to transition out of the fossil fuel industry. He says he hopes state and university leaders will listen to their constituencies who want officials to act now.
We're specifically calling for the university to decarbonize the campus and divest from fossil fuels, meaning cut their financial ties with the fossil fuel industry.
The latest report by an international panel of climate scientists warns that just 11 years remain to reverse course on climate pollution before the path toward catastrophic impacts becomes irreversible. Critics of the strike say students are being manipulated by environmental groups, a claim flatly denied by Thunberg.
Groups concerned about air quality, climate change, and local control are speaking out to oppose the EPA's plan to impose a lower federal standard for vehicle emissions and prevent states from requiring more pollution controls on cars.
The administration claims this will lower the price of new cars and boost sales. But Paul Billings with the American Lung Association says it will lead to dirtier tailpipe emissions that hurt human health directly and indirectly by worsening climate change.
Climate change makes air quality worse. We have more hot, smoggy days, more droughts that drive wildfire, more extreme weather events. So not taking action to address carbon pollution makes air quality worse and threatens health.
The administration is revoking a Clean Air Act waiver that allowed California and 13 other states, plus Washington, D.C., to enact higher tailpipe emissions standards.
That was Suzanne Potter reporting. This is PNS. A new study from the journal Science shows a steady decline of nearly 3 billion wild birds in North America since 1970.
Nearly a half a century ago, about 10.1 billion birds used to soar the skies across the United States and Canada. That has dropped by 29%. Scientists say while the cause varies, from development, agricultural conversion, to even sea level rise, they all stem from human activity. Julie Wraithmill is with Audubon, Florida.
Things that are even really common showed declines, things like Baltimore orioles, barn swallows. These are common birds that we see, especially on migration.
The research led by Cornell University conservation scientist Kenneth Rosenberg covered wild birds.
A proposed rule change for those needing help to put food on the table this winter will have drastic consequences, according to advocates fighting hunger. Roz Brown has a report on how this could affect Minnesotans.
The Trump administration's effort to tighten eligibility requirements for SNAP benefits, formerly known as food stamps, would kick at least 35,000 low-income Minnesotans off of SNAP, according to Colleen Moriarty with Hunger Solutions. She says that includes 18,000 Minnesota children.
The logic behind this was we want people to be more self-sufficient. If people find themselves in the unenviable position of needing assistance for food, taking them off the program and limiting their access to food is not going to help them become more self-sufficient.
Moriarty says those without SNAP benefits will fall back on state food pantries, which already report nearly 3.5 million visits every year.
And finally, Wisconsin lawmakers are wading into gun control. Governor Tony Evers and Democratic lawmakers are touting support for a red flag bill, but they're receiving blowback from Republicans after the governor's comments on mandatory gun buybacks. Thursday's news conference was supposed to be about strengthening background checks and extreme risk protection orders, or a proposed red flag law to allow a judge to seize people's firearms for up to a year if they pose a threat to themselves or others. But when Evers said he'd also consider mandatory buyback of assault weapons, top Republican leaders lashed out, claiming it's all a ploy to take guns from legal owners. Democratic Representative Melissa Sargent of Madison sponsors the red flag bill.
I haven't seen any legislation when it comes to gun buybacks this session, and quite frankly, I'm investing my time and energy into these two bills and commit to work hard with the Attorney General, the Governor, and my colleagues on both sides of the aisle to move them forward and save lives in Wisconsin.
17 states and the District of Columbia have passed similar red flag bills. I'm Eric Tegedoff for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. Go to the newsroom, WGXC.org, for more information about anything you hear here. Amanda Purcell reports for Columbia Green Media that on September 17th, the Hudson Common Council voted to send a 9-month moratorium on short-term lodging facilities to the Columbia County Planning Board for review. Quote, as you know, we are in the process of crafting a law that deals with short-term rentals, but in the meantime, because we want to do that correctly with a lot of public participation, We would like to propose this moratorium while we craft this law, unquote, Common Council President Thomas DiPietro, a WGXC volunteer programmer, said. Fourth Ward Alderperson John Rosenthal said of the moratorium, quote, it does have a hardship provision if anyone is in the process, is about to be putting an Airbnb online right now. After the law is passed, they can come before the council, plead their hardship, and get an exemption, unquote. The other Fourth Ward Alderperson, Rich Volo, said, quote, no one has seen it, a draft of the proposed law. The public hasn't seen this, unquote. Fifth Ward Alderperson Dominic Morante, First Ward Alderperson Rob Bujan, Fifth Ward Alderperson Eileen Halloran, and Volo voted to send the law back to the legal committee, but the others voted to send it to the county. The issue will be before the Hudson Legal Committee at 6:15 p.m. September 25th at City Hall. WGXC Newsroom has a recording of the entire September 17th Hudson Common Council meeting, recorded from a live web stream from WGXC volunteer Dan Udell. Emil Munson reports in the Albany Times-Union that David Ross, the assistant administrator for the EPA's Office of Water, refused to name a federal maximum contaminant level for PFAS and PFOAS at a U.S. House of Representatives committee meeting September 18th. Quote, you're suggesting that you could go through this whole process and ultimately not land on an MCL, unquote, said Representative Antonio Delgado at the hearing. Quote, you want folks all across this country to continue to wait and wait and wait on the off chance that maybe we'll get to a point where you just might have enough information to issue an MCL? Is that what you're telling me, unquote? Delgado's 19th congressional district includes Hoosick Falls in Rensselaer County, where PFOA contamination has poisoned the drinking water. Delgado and Representative Paul Tonko, who represents the 20th congressional district, including Albany County, are working together on legislation regarding PFAs and PFOAs. And Tonko gets a seat at negotiations with the U.S. Senate over the National Defense Authorization Act that includes PFA provisions. New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is working on legislation that would put PFAS chemicals, including Gen X, on the toxic release inventory list. Quote, we are moving forward with the regulatory determination process for PFOA and PFAS, unquote, Ross said. Quote, we are committed to getting that done by the end of the year, and we are still on schedule, unquote. Read more about this story in the Albany Times-Union. Ryan Whalen reports for New York State of Politics that Governor Andrew Cuomo signed a bill September 18th extending the statute of limitations for second-degree rape from 5 years to 20 years and from third-degree rape to 10 years. Quote, 5 years is an insult to these survivors, and today we're providing them more time to come to terms with their trauma they experienced and to seek justice, unquote, Cuomo said. The legislation takes effect immediately, but if the statute of limitations has expired on a rape, this law does not change that. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. This has been the WGXC News Update. Go online to wavefarm.org for more information, recordings of town meetings, and an exhaustive list of community events at wavefarm.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather. After some fog and spots clears out this morning, we'll watch the temperatures climb from the low 40s into the upper 70s by 2 p.m. Overnight, we're back down to the mid-50s before bouncing back to 80 degrees by 1 p.m. tomorrow. Another nice weekend is on the way. Sunday will have a high in the mid-80s with no precipitation in the forecast until Monday. Over on the river, high tides will be at 7:18 a.m. and at 7:23 p.m. Low tides will be at 1:37 a.m. and at 1:21 p.m. Water temperature will be 70 degrees. Looking way up, we see the now-confirmed interstellar comet Borisov zipping through our system at 33 kilometers per second. It is our second known visitor. As a reference, objects that orbit our sun have an eccentricity falling between 0 and 1, with an eccentricity of 3.2. Comet Borisov, also known as C2019Q4, will not be coming back and will be too faint to see with the naked eye. However, amateur astronomers are training their equipment on it while it is around for the next 5 or so months. Solar wind is currently a weak and light 329 kilometers per second at 2.9 protons per milliliter. This has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Arthur and Karen of Hoover, Alabama. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
But right now, we're joined by Sylvia Hasenkopf, who is here. Hopefully it doesn't sound as bad to you all as it's gone out again. Hudson Valley historian Sylvia Hasenkopf, I'm going to let you talk a while I pull with some cables. There it goes. You're going to tell us about the Cairo Historical Society's annual Archival Day?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really fun day that we do every year. One of the things that's really important to us at the Cairo Historical Society is the collection, preservation, and sharing of our local history. And what people don't realize is that they have a lot of that history in their homes, even in their businesses. It's just things that are lying around in, you know, boxes and drawers and, you know, in the garage and so forth. And once a year we get together. This year it'll be on Saturday at the Carroll Public Library in the Soho Room between 10:30 and 1:30. We'll be there, and people that want to come in and they have an item they want to talk about, they have an item they'd like to donate, or they have an item they'd like us to take a picture of and scan and return to them, and we'll be there to talk with them about that. When people say, well, what is savable? What is local history? It could be just about anything. I mean, honestly, when you think about it, you have photos from Cairo. Some of them are old. Some of them are much more sooner. They're all history. Postcards, matchbook covers, letterhead.
I guess you're looking for pennants?
Pennants. We were looking for the Cairo and Acre pennants and any others. The only two I know that for sure existed in the town of Cairo was an Acre pennant, which we were gifted one by the Greene County historian, Dave Dorfeld. He actually gifted one. His family's from Acre. So we have one of those, but we don't have the Cairo one, which is a unique pennant in itself. It's nothing fancy. It just says Cairo, New York on it. And I believe it's green and red or something like that, or red and green. So anyways, we're looking for one of those. We also have received all kinds of different things from, we've received daguerreotypes, you know, the earliest photography, tintypes we've scanned. We've received maps. We've scanned family Bible pages. We've scanned deeds. In fact, one of the reasons I got into local history many, many moons ago is when I was doing my husband's genealogy, my stepchildren had asked me about their mom's genealogy, and she's a Lennon. So I said, okay, well, let's do that. So the kids and I went around to cemeteries.
She's not the Lennons in Caro?
Yeah, the Lennons in Caro and the Lennons in Catskill. They're related, actually. And so we started the adventure of trying to determine who their ancestors were. And as it turns out, it was a man named John Lennon. Yay, that was fun, trying to do a Google search on him.
Yeah.
So I had to do it the hard way, which is to dive through records. And so we spent a lot of time looking for the grave of John Lennon, who turns out to be, I believe, an Irishman who came over in maybe the 1750s.
Not from Liverpool.
You know, I really don't know if he's from Liverpool or from Ireland or
it's possible,
from...
Huh?
From Scotland, because in looking at, you know, Ancestry.com and the sites like that, it suggests that Lennon might be like a Scottish name rather than an English name, but along the border there. So he could have been a Scots Irish.
Yeah, and
we're
making these jokes. It was spelled like John Lennon, not
exactly.
Like the Russian.
Who?
Not Lennon from Russia.
Oh, no, not L-E-I-N. Although I have to tell you, when you're doing primary research back in the day where spelling meant nothing, I have seen it spelt every which way under the sun, including L-E-N-I-N.
It makes Googling even more difficult.
Yes, indeed. So, which way under the sun, including L-E-N-I-N.
It makes Googling even more difficult.
Yes, indeed. So, anyways, we spent a lot of the archival day in Caro, so we got images of that particular deed. It was really quite fun. Other things we received are the Barton Bells. Got images of that particular deed. It was really quite fun. Other things we received are the Barton Bells. The bells, people are going, well, okay, what's a bell? Okay, well, this was a sleigh bell. And
sounds like an a cappella singing
group. I know. But we have the distinction in Caro of the Barton Foundry was right along old 23B, now very close to where the Tiny Homes Resort is right now. And along that little creek, they made bells, and they were sleigh bells, and they were the first sleigh bells made in America. And they were made in Caro.
Wow.
Isn't that cool? And we have a couple of those bells donated by some local people. So that was very exciting.
Did sleigh bells serve a purpose?
Yes.
Like
because you got to think.
Scaring off bears or something?
Well, no. Think about the sleighs going along in the winter, which is when sleighs were used. You can't hear anything. You can't hear the horses usually. You can't hear the sleigh. There's no noise. So it was to let people know to get out of the way of the sleigh.
It was an early car horn.
It was. And it just jingle, jingle, jingle. And they had these long leather straps across the breasts of the horses, and they had all the bells attached. So these Barton bells actually have JB on the reverse of them for John Barton. I think it's John Barton. So anyways, so they're on the back, and so you know right away that it's one of the bells made in Caro. So we were donated a few of those, and so we have them, and that's pretty exciting to have in our collection. Some other things that we've had collected that are fun are some of the bottles from the bottling works that was in Caro.
Where was that?
The White's Bottling Works is, we have two V's in Caro. The first one's by the fountain, and the second V goes to the cemetery. So we have a big brick building there on the right as you're making that turn, and that's the George White Bottling Works. Mm. And so they bottled primarily soda, but they also, in other iterations, like, you know, there's other people that bought the place after George White, they made beer and so on. And there's
I was
going
to say, it looks like a good place for a brewery now.
Well, I hear that's what's going to happen there.
Ah, it's going to return to
I
form,
I think
huh?
So. I've heard news that somebody's interested in creating a brewery at that site, which would be outstanding because apparently it has a really awesome well with really clear water, which in Caro can be a little bit challenging because we're on rock, basically. But I'm waiting. I want to try it out myself. And it somehow, from a historical point of view, makes sense. You know,
right.
It's kind of
circling
like the circle turning around once more. We've had people come in with their family Bibles. Family Bibles are particularly important because, you know, New York was rather late in getting in the game of formal vital records. Our vital record system didn't start until 1882. and it took decades for it to really be 100% ironclad. A lot of people forgot to send them to the state. So family Bible records, when you're doing research, becomes incredibly important. Sometimes
people wrote their family history in the Bible.
Deaths, marriages, and other notes sometimes are included there. And for many families, is the only information they have about when their ancestor was born or married and who the father and the mother were. Sometimes the maiden name of the mother, it's the only place that you will find it, will be in a family Bible record. So those are particularly important in preserving. And, of course, we don't need to have the Bible, but we sure as heck would love to take an image of it, include it in our family files. So that's, you know, something that we find really fun. I've had people, I have a pair of shoes, little leather boy shoes that are maybe a size 1, that were donated to us for someone that lived in Carroll in the 1860s. So that's pretty fun. We've had school items like a chalkboard. Every child didn't have paper back in the day because it was so expensive, but they did have chalk and a little chalkboard, and that's how they did their arithmetic and their numbers and their lettering. So that was gifted to us as well. I'm particularly fond of paper, ephemera. We've talked about that before. Ephemera is something that you use and dispose of right away. It could be matchbooks. It could be a letter. I love old letters. They capture what's going on in a family or in a business or a dispute. Sometimes it's the only clue we have. There was a dispute. So I love capturing that. Envelopes that have return addresses that were stamped on it from Cairo, Round Top, Purling, you know, Acre, those are all really important because sometimes they're the only proof that there was a business. You know, they weren't advertised the way we advertise today, so you don't necessarily have them in newspapers. Sometimes that envelope, that letterhead, the bill head from an invoice are the only way we know that business ever existed. So that helps to flesh out families for individuals who are interested in researching who their families were in Cairo. You know, so there's a lot of different things that come in through the door. And sometimes people just come in and talk. They have a question about a site. They want a question about a photo or about a family. And so we have a great, historical conversation. So we invite people to come on down. You know, if you have stuff in your closet or if you have stuff, in the garage. We've had people donate signs to businesses, which is like Weeks General Store. Everybody knows Weeks General Store on Main Street in Cairo. It was the place to go, back in the mid-20th century. Mr. Weeks also had a barn in which he sold army surplus. So we have people that would go there and buy, old helmets, old coats, old knapsacks, that sort of stuff.
Which building was it in?
It was the one where, do you know where Susan True used to have her accounting offices? It's just been sold. There's going to be a bakery going in there. So let me
all
think.
All kinds of news. You've got all the Cairo business news.
Well, yeah. I live there. But it's kind of a long store. It's, I think, greenish. There is right in front of it. Let me see. It looks.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
This is Echo. You are listening to WJFC Acre, creative, community, magical radio.
I'm a road runner, honey.
Thank you.